It's New Day in the Workroom, and I am joined by pop culture journalist Harrison Brocklehurst. Hey, Harrison, how are you keeping?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All good, all good. Tell me what you're thinking of UK versus the world.
Yeah, I'm really liking it. I think I was quite nervous for it because I feel like season one was a bit all over the show. But I think I already like the cast from the off, but yeah, I've been really enjoying it, to be honest. I feel sorry for them that it's on a Friday night. I feel like that's a bit of a killer.
Yeah. I mean, the Friday night, I suppose it's Thursday night for UK, right? Yeah, that's kind of still, people still want to go out for it, but people will also be in and watching it as well. So yeah, there's probably a better day of the week.
Yeah, well, like normal seasons that aren't versus the world are on Thursday nights, which I think is good because everyone's just in and whatever. But I think Friday night, like the amount of times I've just had to watch in the morning, and it's kind of missing that live tweetiness, I think, that the seasons
well,
have
well also, you know, X is dead, so to speak. That probably is,
yeah,
is an aspect true to it as well. But yeah, I suppose I didn't really consider that. It's also kind of on more or less the same day as UK, US, so that when you wake up in the morning, like the feed is kind of diluted between UK versus the world, and well, mine is anyway, and Spain and US. So yeah, its own day of the week probably would have worked better, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Although I do kind of like if I have been out, like having versus the world and US to kind of watch in the morning, like that's kind of nice, but it still feel like I'm a bit kind of pulled in two different directions, and I like having a day or so to like digest. But
well, I'm not gonna lie, for me it's easier Friday because I could record Saturday morning.
Yeah,
but that's
true.
Literally just a problem solved for the 10 people that do podcasts about it. Who have you been loving so far? Who of the eliminated queens were you most sad to see go?
I was really sad to see Arantxa go. I think she's such good vibes. I actually saw her out in the club the other week and she was really fun. But mostly, to be honest, my faves are all in, so I've not been too sad. Like, I've had a good time so far.
Is Arantxa living in the UK now, or was she just over?
I'm not sure. It was like, it was really weird. I didn't know, like, I'd been to Big Brother late in life, and then we went to Two Brewers in London, walked in, and Sam Bailey from The X Factor was like singing like the hits on stage. And I looked to my left, and it was like Bag of Chips, Tea of Coffee, Katie Scott Claus, Arantxa, Ahura. And I feel like someone else, but I forgot. But they were, and Victoria Scone was there. But they were just like all like on this little platform, and they weren't like performing or anything. They were just on a night out, but it was just really surreal. It was like everywhere I looked, I was like, oh.
Like, good to see drag queens. You say, yeah. Sam Bailey was singing the hits. Surely you meant Sam Bailey was singing the hit.
No, she was singing the hits that aren't her hits.
Oh,
she was
okay, gotcha.
She was singing hits.
Singing Skyscraper on repeat.
She didn't even do Skyscraper unless she did it before I got there. But when I got there, she was doing, what's the one from Dreamgirls, the Jennifer Hudson song?
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm not going.
I'm telling you, I'm going, yeah. It was amazing. She was killing it.
I'm glad to know she's still, you know, being booked and blessed. Good old Sam Bailey.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you reckon was she a prison officer?
Yeah, I read her wiki afterwards, and I was shocked. Like, on paragraph two, it's like, in 2013, Sam Bailey supported Beyonce and Jay-Z on tour. Like, how crazy.
What?
Yeah, she supported them. How funny is that?
Oh, my. We thought Alexandra Burke was iconic with her Beyonce moment.
So funny.
So, on the run tour, with act Sam Bailey.
On the UK date, Sam Bailey warming them up, yeah.
Oh, maybe I should reach Sam Bailey for an interview to get the tea on Beyonce and Jay-Z.
I mean, if she's doing the Two Brewers stage, I'm sure she would be willing to come on.
Yeah, okay. I'll reach out to her. Okay, let's jump into this week's episode. Were you surprised that Hannah chose to eliminate Scarlett over Teresa last week?
I was really surprised. I thought it was bizarre. Like, I mean, I do think she was probably playing like a strategic game, or I think she either just doesn't like Scarlett as a person. That was the kind of vibe I was getting, because she made a comment, didn't she? Like, something about like, oh, I want it to be like good vibes going forward, or something like that.
Yeah, I know. She kind of like, she made it sound like I got on better with Treats, so I kept her, and I felt like that's a coded version of saying Treats was less threatening. But also, it was kind of rude to be like, I just want to be in here with people I like. It's like, so the subtext of that is what you hate, you don't like me? I would be pressed if I was Scarlett.
Yeah, I think so too. Unless there's something we've not seen and there's been like some kind of tension.
Yeah.
Because it felt like a bit out of the blue.
I think so too. But then at the end of this episode, she's like, I love you.
Yeah. And when Hannah was talking in the workroom later on, I caught that Scarlett went over and hugged her. So I don't know, like, I don't know if it's like serious beef or if it's just like telly beef, but it seemed like there was something up.
I mean, it's probably not beef. I think it's probably more like, four of these are my best friends and one of them is an acquaintance, maybe.
Yeah, to be fair, like I do think that I really like Scarlett on US show, but I don't really know where she fit on this season. I feel like she kind of just has been there. And not that she's been doing bad, but just like I feel like she doesn't really mesh in with the group as easy as everyone else does. Like maybe it's a humor gap or something, but like I don't know. I just
See, I
never.
kind of think she got more lost in the cast in like All Star 6, where
Yeah.
I think she kind of has her own sort of energy in this season, like this kind of American energy, this kind of preppy energy. I think she gives good talking head. Whereas, like, I don't know how many talking heads she would have got over, like a Silky or an Evie. Well, she was with Silky both times that she competed, but like, do you know, sort of way. So, I kind of felt she got more lost as just like a good fashion girl the first two times, whereas she's kind of got more of a personality across.
I feel like she got good talking heads, but I haven't really seen her like in the mix of the laughs with like other queens. Like there's no like I can't really think of any back and forth bantery moments, whereas like someone like Hannah Condor, I feel like is in the mix like constantly, like seems like a big warm presence in the room. Whereas I feel like Scarlett is quite good at just being like Scarlett and being that character to the TV, if that makes sense.
That doesn't make sense, and I agree. I think she's more aloof, and she's not kikiing as much with the
Yeah.
other queens. Yeah, and I guess maybe that's the impact then of Hannah, Hannah's comments. And it did really feel like they were setting up. I thought they were setting up Scarlett to eliminate Hannah in this moment. I was like, oh no, is Hannah gonna go? Is Scarlett gonna get her revenge? But no, Lala was the other way around.
Yeah, I think they were kind of setting it up of like either Scarlett wins this challenge or done for. You know what I mean?
So you mentioned your favorites are still in it. Was Scarlett, was it one of your favorites?
No, not this
No.
season. I don't not like her. I actually really like Scarlett Envy, but I love Hannah Condor so much. I really, actually, really like that second season of Down Under, and I wanted Spanky to win, so I was glad that Hannah can get this chance to come back and also kind of be on a series that's probably going to be watched by a lot more people because I think she's such a polished, fun queen who can do like a lot of different stuff. I didn't know. I actually haven't watched Le Grand Dame's season of Drag Race France, so I didn't know her before, and I've never watched the Philippines one either, so I didn't know Marina. But I love both of them. I think they are such good queens, and like this season's really made me kind of fall in love with them. And Tia, I know personally, so I'm a bit biased, but like I think that she's like done herself so proud. Like I think she's really smashed it.
I love Hannah as well. I'm so glad to hear you say that. I feel like every
Yeah.
week I come on the podcast and I'm like, Hannah is not getting the props she deserves in this show yet. So I feel like I can retire happily now that she's got a win. But I guess we're jumping to the end of it. But yeah, love Hannah. Love Hannah. Okay, so this mini challenge was this hen party dance challenge. DJ Jazzy Jacob, who is what, 19?
Yeah,
How
literally.
young is that man?
I have no clue.
The
If
first
I,
fetus DJ in the mix.
yeah, I, maybe this is controversial, but I feel like we should just like sack off mini challenges. I don't want to see this nonsense. Like, I laugh. Maybe I'm just miserable, but I'm like, I want like mini challenges that are like feel impactful or like take a bit of a skill or something. Whereas this just felt like I'm watching someone play like a party game at a school disco, and I was like, okay, let's
The
get on with the
mini challenge
episode.
in US last week where they had to like vote for the shadiest or the most delusional, that was fun. I
Yeah,
think
anything like that is fun.
I think the show, like, people feel strongly about the mini challenges, either to keep them or to not keep them. I feel the show in general has been veering away from them. But I also just feel like they're getting it less right whenever they do one, which I think is kind of confusing. I think like some of the most iconic moments of the first few seasons of US were in mini challenges in a way. And I feel like they've just kind of lost the essence of what makes them great.
I think just stick to the ones that work. Like we don't have to have one every episode, but just obviously I like the puppet one. I like the reading challenge, obviously. I kind of like some quick drag ones. I just don't want any like silly dance one or like musical chairs or something like that. Like I don't. That's not a mini challenge. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's
that's
just
a party
like
game.
you're playing a party game. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess the mini challenge was in here because they needed somebody to choose the order because they wanted like the drama. But they also could have said, "Tia, you won the lip sync last week. You choose the order."
Yeah. Like, just give me. I'd literally rather just watch 10 more minutes of them chatting and interacting in the workroom
Yeah,
than
you would like to
what's
see
like
someone
forced fun.
speak to Scarlett for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Let's see what Scarlett's up
Hey, Scarlett, how are you? Yeah,
to.
fine.
Yeah.
Right, so the queens were eliminated one by one. It was kind of a musical statues, not that any of them had to stay still at any moment, really. Tia was the first out, then La Grande Dame, Scarlett, and then it was between Marina and Hannah won. The only real like dance move that kind of cracked a smile for me was when Hannah kind of got on the ground like a fetus and did the sort of like bicycle kick that she rotated a circle. That kind of cracked a bit of a smile, but the rest of that. And the victory dance was kind of fun when they sped it up, but I think
it all
could have been
cut. I thought the funniest bit was like when they got eliminated and Tia like took a wig off and stormed past that.
Yeah, that's true.
That was good.
Yeah, that was the best bit. Okay, so the Maxine challenge is the sham wedding of the century. Michelle Visage and Graham Norton have been bumping purses and now they're going to be getting married and the queens have to do a wedding speech roast for the happy couple. I think this is quite a good spin on the roast challenge. Like, I think we saw a really good one in All Stars 7 when it was like the graduation speech. I think this is a fun way of doing a roast but making it feel different.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like the to the Drag Race's credit, I feel like recently they've been putting quite good spins on like classic challenges and across America as well and All Stars and things. I thought it was I can't believe they've never done this before. I was like, this feels like such an obvious way of doing it. I'm shocked that it's taken this long for them to kind of pull this style of doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, especially since season 3 had the Pearly Gates roast, which I mean isn't a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I applaud the high concept, to be honest. But yeah, I thought this was fun. Although the whole time I was thinking, God, they must have just been getting changed constantly because for like the tops, they've had to change from like this like quite elaborate wedding look into their runway look and then into like a lip sync look. Like they must have just been.
And from their quick drag look. But I guess it's 2 days, I suppose.
Yeah.
They went quick drag into their normal clothes again for the walkthrough with Catherine Ryan, which I guess was up next. Are you a fan of Catherine Ryan?
No. Not that I'm not a
fan. Can you say more without being too mean?
Yeah, I can say more. Not that I don't have an issue with her. I just feel like when I was at uni, I remember thinking, oh, she's really fun. And then she's one of them people who's just on every single show, like constantly at all times. And I'm not really sure what she like brings to the table necessarily. Is that too harsh?
That's not harsh, if that's how you feel. I kind of agree with you as well in that like, I want to like Catherine Ryan more than I like Catherine Ryan, if that makes sense. Like, I'm like, oh, Catherine Ryan, I like her, and she will share my point of view on things. But yeah. I rarely come away being like, oh, Catherine Ryan was the star of that. Now, I must say, I think she did a really good job in this episode.
Yeah, I thought she was fun. She looked great as well. Her hair looked amazing. I feel like Catherine Ryan is just, to me, like a professional panelist. I feel like she just turns up and is on panels. And you know what? She's quite good at it. I'm not like cold to her. I'm just not like losing my mind every time I see Catherine Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's fair. And what I appreciate about her is that like, you know, she's comfortable putting male comics down if they're, you know, overstepping the mark, whatever. And I think that's nice to see. It's kind of refreshing. And obviously there was that interview with Louis Theroux where she allegedly outed Russell Brand, or, you know, she mentioned this high profile, you know, and I think she's great for the industry and stuff like that. I just wish I cried, laughed at her more, that's all.
Me too.
I thought she gave good feedback as well. So with Hannah, she was telling her to be more succinct with the punchlines for Marina. She seemed very encouraging of Marina, which I thought was kind of good. And then what was going on with Scarlett? Like, both in the run through with Catherine and on the main stage, the jokes felt good, but no one laughed. It was kind of strange.
It was strange. Although I did appreciate that, like, I felt like Catherine Ryan didn't pander around the fact that she didn't find it funny, which I thought was good. I thought she was quite like, about it, which is, no, that's what audiences are going to do if you're not funny. So you might as well warm people up for it now. But yeah, I do sometimes think, like, obviously, it's a heavily edited show, and I would love to know what the reactions are actually like sometimes without, like, the producers kind of making, I don't know, they have their own storylines they want to tell. And like, sometimes I'm like, you know those edits when like it was like Snatch Game and they'd edit like Trixie's bad RuPaul to like sound funny if it had like laughs and stuff in it? Since then, I'm always so dubious of anything funny on Drag Race of like how much I'm being like told to laugh.
Well, the same with the lip syncs as well, but like that's a rabbit hole we could all go down. You watched on the iPlayer, right? Did they?
I was watching Big Brother finale and then I went to Drag Race after.
Did they air the word cunt on the iPlayer?
I feel like they do.
Because in this segment, the Grand Dame says, if you watch on Web Presents Plus anyway, the Grand Dame says, uses the word cunt in a joke, and then Catherine Ryan corrects her and he tells the word twat. Did that air on the BBC?
I think it did. I feel like they're normally quite chill about that.
Okay, all right, that's good. Because I remember, like, Bimini's...
I can't remember.
I think Bimini... got censored on BBC and not on WoW or something in the past, I can't remember. But yeah, I was curious to know whether that aired in the BBC, because if not, like, later on Catherine goes, "Twat's a new word for the Grand Dame," and I was like, that would have made no sense if they didn't show that segment on BBC, but maybe they did. The other thing I thought was good was her advice to Tia, saying, like, your humour is dad jokes, so let's just lean into it. Let's not try to, you know, finesse it out. And I thought that was good.
Yeah, that is good for Cheech, to be honest.
Because that is Tia. That's Tia, yeah, to a T. Then there's a mirror moment. Hannah, Marina and the Grand Dame were all runners-up originally, and they were kind of talking about how they felt that they had to at least meet that standard this time, whereas Tia and Scarlett had never made it to the final, so they also felt extra pressure to make it to the final this time. So it's kind of like, no matter what you do, you're kind of screwed. Unless you're Gothy Kendall, which is just survive one episode and you're already winning.
Yeah, literally. I was quite moved, like, to hear Hannah talk about that, because I didn't think that, from, like, her socials and stuff and, like, how she was on the show, I never got the impression that she was very phased.
Mm.
So it was kind of weird to see, like, in a nice way, it was kind of weird to see her, like, how much it affected her. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I was the same. Like, she, you know, I kind of wanted Spikey Jackson to win as well, but she was so clearly so talented and, like, such a front runner of the show and, like, the talking head of the season. I'm surprised that, like, she got snubbed in that way. Like, I don't remember her being in a particular villain. Like, okay, yeah, she was being more bitchy than she was now, but that's down under. Like, they're all horrible to each other down there. That's just part of, like, the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that surprised me.
I don't remember her even being, like, stressed about winning, though. I just remember her kind of just breezing through it, like, and being talented. I think, I mean, I was really Team Spanky, because I think people like that winning is such a win for, like, you can come on the show and not be, you know, the Crystal Versace level of polished and still, like, win the prize by being, like, super talented and super likable. But, yeah, I think I don't remember anyone coming away from it and being like, oh, Hannah Condo, like, she came across a bitch, or, like, oh, that. Oh, and I also think they told us, like, such a three for ages, didn't they? Like, Queen Kong and Hannah and Spanky, they had, like, a little trio thing that they were, like, touring around. So I thought they were all kind of, I didn't think there was any bad vibes going on, you know what I mean? Or that she was kind of stressing.
Yeah, it's weird.
I guess people,
yeah,
keep things in a lot, don't they? Like, you don't always know what people are going through.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I'm not surprised that I didn't see it from her page or whatever, but I mean, it's hard to know what fandom looks like when you open your DMs, you know, or when you're at a show if you're not there, I suppose. But yeah, I would have thought she was one of the stars of that season and would have been the most loved, and that's why she was on this season.
Mm, for sure.
Also, Rue has stepped down from, was it this week that they announced Rue has stepped down from Down Under and Michelle's going to host it? How do you feel about that?
I think that I'm honestly kind of shocked that Rue came back for season two, like, as well. Like, has there been three seasons of
Down
Under?
Yeah, there has, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised he came back for them because, I mean, you know, the first one was famously, like, a disaster.
Yeah.
I think what's a real shame, and I kind of echo Willem's, I don't know if you heard, like, Willem and Alaska talking about it, but, like, Alaska was very much saying that, like, Michelle's earned her dues to do it, and I understand that point. And then Willem was saying, well, it should be a drag queen. Like, Michelle's, at the end of the day, is just not a drag queen. And I understand both sides of this argument, but I think, like, in an ideal world, it should have been someone like Courtney Act or something. Like, that would have been amazing. But I think Michelle would do a good job. Like, she pretty much, like, half hosts anyway, so, like, it wouldn't be, you know, she's going to just sound like RuPaul to me. In my head, I just think she's going to sound like RuPaul. Like, you know that time in the UK or something when she, like, Ru was off?
Yeah, yeah, Ru was sick or something. Yeah, yeah. She hosts the
Michelle,
show. Yeah,
it just felt like the same. It just felt like Michelle was saying Ru's lines. I think it's just going to be like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd like at least a drag queen in her role if she's going to be RuPaul.
Have they announced that yet, or are they not?
Not that I've seen.
No, I've not either. I saw someone say it was going to be Sacha Colby, but I didn't believe that. I just think it was a random tweet.
No, but it also should be an Australian. I think the issue with Rue doing the international franchises is that Rue doesn't get all the cultural references, and I think Snatch Game is only worse in the UK because the queens don't feel like they can do a Kerry Katona or all these sort of people because Rue's not going to get it.
Yeah. But I also think Rue, through time, has kind of got better at the UK, like, references. I feel like Rue does actually have a vested interest in UK culture, whereas I feel like Rue doesn't give a crap about Australian culture.
Just has an Australian husband and wants to go visit the family while he's there.
Like, yeah.
Or New Zealand, yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's just a weird franchise Down Under. Like, I think it's kind of, sometimes I think I don't even get the cultural references. Like, it's weird how, like, with Australian people, sometimes I feel like there's really big similarities and then, like, huge differences in, like, culture. Like, with Hannah and stuff, like, her humor is very similar to buzz. But then sometimes I watch Down Under and I just feel like it's going over my head, or like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's natural. Like, I think if there was an Irish Drag Race, there'd be definitely things you'd miss as well. Like, I just think,
Yeah.
there's different microcosms in different countries. Like, when you have a different national broadcaster, there's different iconic moments and stuff like that. I think it's
For
sort of
sure.
natural.
It doesn't really feel like that with America, with US Drag Race though. Maybe it's because like US culture is just so everywhere.
I think when I first started watching it, I probably would have felt like there was moments I didn't know. Like, I own 51% of this company. I don't know if I knew that the first time I watched Drag Race, but now I do, you know?
I know what you mean, actually. I feel like maybe I just like looked things up and learnt them because of watching
Yeah.
it. Like,
Yeah.
and
And now you
definitely
get it.
celebs that I like hadn't heard of, for, like people like Rachel Zoe. I remember being like, who is this? But now, like, I
Yeah.
feel like Drag
Phaedra
Race, like,
Parks. I didn't know Phaedra Parks.
yeah. It's weird. It's weird how like Drag Race educates like that about like cultural stuff. I mean, and maybe that's the beauty of it still.
Yeah. No, definitely. And that's the cultural exchange is always my favorite part of the international seasons as well. Finding these local queer icons, even like who Plain Jane did in Snatch Game or whatever, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's jump into the actual main challenge, the roast. Up first was Hannah. I mean, I won't read out my entire notes here, but there was jokes about, when Michelle's married, that Ru won't have to carry her anymore. She calls the Grand Dame an audible. She's had more intense conversations with her farts. Marina got new teeth so she can go to Kentucky Derby. Scarlett assaulted her face with makeup. And then the happy couple, because Michelle's vag has been filled more than Hannah or Catherine's lips. And one of my favorites was, I would say Opa if I were Greek, but I'm not, so I won't.
Yeah, that
What a
was
way
really
to end
funny.
it.
I think like with this challenge, I think what I loved about Hannah is like not even necessarily her jokes, but just like her commitment to being this character at the wedding. Like that's what made it work for me. Like the little that was good soup thing, and like the little dabbing of the mouth. Like that's what made it funny for me. Because, and I think this is kind of a general note, I guess, for all the queens across the board. I'm so bored of like the same old roast jokes of like people being old or people being like, I don't know. I just think it's like so tired. And there's only so many times you can say to someone like, haha, you're old, like, and it's been going on for like what, 15 seasons of all different franchises. But yeah, I thought Hannah did a really good job. I think she was correct up too, to be honest.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think when she did the soup joke, I actually thought she was going to be putting the silverware into her bag, which is what the character was going to be doing. It's like, oh, I better get out of here and take these cutlery with me or whatever. So yeah, she definitely was. I think Graham called her like the aunt who was going to steal the centerpiece.
Yeah.
That was well characterized. But also, she's so kind of, she seems so just at ease in herself and kind of just so wacky and zany that you can kind of just leave her up, wind her up, and let her go, and it'll always just be entertaining.
For sure, for sure. That's what I love about her. Like, I also just love that she's like so up for a laugh and like willing to play like looking a bit stupid. Like, I don't know, it's just constantly fun. Like, it never gets bored boring for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Definitely deserved to be in the top two, 100%. The Grand Dame was up next. I think she really managed to pull off the frozen penis, frozen twat line, and then she immediately undercut her momentum with that sprained ankle joke that I did not get until she explained what she was talking about. There was a joke about RuPaul will only get his recognition when he's dead, but don't worry, that'll come soon. Yeah, this was the most struggle bus of all of them, and I was kind of thinking because Catherine Ryan's there and she's a Canadian, the Grand Am could definitely have got away with some sort of French pun that at least Catherine Ryan would have got, and the
Yeah.
audience could have got to some degree. I don't think Rue would have got it, but like she could because there was a French speaker on the panel. She could have, and Graham's French is not too bad. She definitely could have got away with like a kind of Franglish joke.
For sure. I think like it's not savage to say she was clearly the worst out of everyone tonight. And I feel like maybe this is, I don't know if this is the common sentiment, but I feel like she's kind of been not as good in the challenges recent, like in the last few weeks. I feel like she's kind of had a great start of the season, and then she's kind of like not quite been up there since. And it's annoying because I really like her and want her to be like amazing. Like I want her to be like in the top every time because I'm so endeared to her. Like out of drag, in drag, like I could listen to her talk for ages. I think she's really funny, but like this should have been her challenge. She should have been like thriving. Like she's a funny person.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough challenge, and like we've seen in her talent show and stuff, she obviously has a sense of humor. She's not afraid to be weird, but I guess stand up is such, there's such tight rules, and it's such a restricted format that I think.
It is, but like little known fact about me is I trained in theater and drama, and like I used to perform all the time, and I would never do stand up. But I think if I was on Drag Race, I would way be more successful in a challenge with this theme because it doesn't feel as stand up-y. It doesn't feel like you're warming up the crowd. It feels like you're in like a scene almost. And I thought that would like kind of play to her strengths. I know that if I was in it, like I feel like I would feel way more relaxed doing that way rather than be getting up and being like, "How are we tonight?" kind of vibe. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
be the kind of tipsy French aunt at the wedding.
Yeah, look what Hannah did. Like that for me, that would be way more like easy to play than like just like hosting in front of everyone. Like you know when like on UK when they get like the old queens back as well to like sit on the front row, like that's way more
Yeah.
daunting.
I also think like Rue loves a Route One joke. Like if the Grand Am just did a kooky French laugh after all of her own jokes, Rue
Yeah.
would have loved it even if the joke was shit.
Yeah, just get a little gimmick to make Rue laugh and then you just get through it.
Yeah, definitely. And Marina did that actually up next. Whenever her jokes didn't land, she just did the Marina face and
So clever, so
the
clever.
eyebrow.
That is literally how every queen should play this game. Like, if Rue laughs at anything, just milk it to the end of time because clearly it works.
Yeah. I was actually only thinking recently enough of River Medway and her conehead point
Yeah.
guy and like how just like how well she knew in that moment to just let's see if I can push this to the limit. And every time she tried, they just laughed more and more.
Yeah, I feel like in the wake of like Vanjie, like you've just got like you. I feel like if I was on the show, you'd just be like, right, what if I become this really viral sensation right now? Like I have to just do it. Like you just got to rise to the occasion.
It's a real maximalist approach to gimmickry, this show
For
is.
sure, for sure.
Other than that, Marina did her Mabu Hai joke, and that it means long live. I think this one definitely could be phrased more, could have been phrased better. Like I couldn't even phrase that sentence better. But we got the sentiment. Hannah is here because she's white. Oh yeah, and for the free food in the lobby. And then I kind of liked the I'd like to raise a toast to my favorite singer from America, Beyonce. And that was kind of fun. I think she had a better like for her and the Grand Am who have English as their second language. I think she did much better.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I thought, and I was most nervous for her, but I thought she definitely wasn't like as bad as I was braced for. Or like, you know, when they do like a next week on Drag Race kind of thing, they kind
Oh,
of
yeah.
look to make out like Marina is going to bomb or like really fuck it up, but she was fine.
Yeah, she got
Like,
the wah
I
wah.
honestly, apart from Le Grand Dame, I don't think anyone really, really bombed. Like, it wasn't like disaster.
Yeah, I kind of agree. So, next up was Scarlett. She made a joke about these toasts are so bad, I'm not surprised Michelle's gluten free. Scarlett, I think, did a good job of characterizing, I'm the maid of honor. The ceremony was lovely. Fun to get a priest so close. Do you
Yeah.
know? Le Grand Am has never seen the summer. Like, it was a very off-the-cuff delivery. But again, because it was kind of conversational, I think she lacked the pattern of stand-up that is kind of like, and here's the joke, where and inviting you to laugh that sometimes, that I think the jokes were as funny, if not more funny, than Marina. But for whatever reason, they didn't laugh. And I don't know whether, like we were kind of saying earlier on, where the judges were kind of like, let's not laugh at her, we need to get her out. Like, I don't want to be that cynical about the show. But then even Catherine Ryan was like, I was laughing. I don't know why the others weren't laughing.
I honestly, I know you don't want to be cynical about it, but I have to, I have to believe it. Like the same way with like, I don't know if you've watched US yet. Have you watched US yet?
Not yet, no.
Oh, I can't say then, but
No,
like,
say you say it, because other people will have watched it.
yeah,
Well,
but
yeah,
you, I
okay.
don't want to ruin it for you.
That's fine.
I'm gonna just not say it, but like,
Okay.
basically, I just think that the show was kind of done with Scarlett, but like, I don't think she did a bad job.
No. So I'm just trying to work out what code of message you're sending me about US. But
Basically,
that's not.
like the lip sync song is like so clearly for one person to do, like, and not the
Gotcha.
other
Like the
person.
Jinx moment in
Yeah.
season 5 where she gets that at a bongo song to
Exactly like that. And like, I saw a tweet and it was like the moment that this person won the lip sync and it was actually like the song title coming. It was so good.
Okay,
Yeah,
gotcha.
it's so good.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of baffled me. I kind of thought it was unfair because I quite like Scarlett. I'm surprised how much I really enjoyed Scarlett this season. It
I
just
maybe
was
like
just weird to see.
in contrast to you, I think I preferred her on All Star 6. I don't know why. I was really, I think like that season, I was really like she was robbed mindset. I think I need to rewatch it because it feels like ages ago now. But I remember at the time being like, I thought she got done a really dirty deal.
I do remember she had a real groundswell of like fans who loved her runways and were like, she's the runway queen of the season. But I can't remember her in any of the challenges.
I swear she did a really good talent show on All Star 6, but I can't remember what
I
it
think
was
she did
now.
something with bubbles.
Yeah, that rings a bell. That rings a bell.
Honestly, what did I have for dinner on Tuesday? Couldn't tell you. Let me tell you, Scarlett Envy did bubbles at a talent show. This brain is mush.
Yeah. No, I really like Scott and I was excited for her on this season, but I don't know. I never felt like she was. Can't think of the word. I don't feel like she had this, the like. I think when someone comes back for their third time, it's kind of like harder for them to have that redemption story, if that makes sense.
I mean, Raja did it, but it didn't feel like the redemption story was a lot more marginal in Canada versus the World than it was in All Stars 6, you know? Because she was the villain and then she became this fan favorite, and then Canada versus the World was just like, okay, and then now she's won, you know? It's like the
Yeah, that
last
wasn't.
10% happened.
Yeah, for sure. That season felt really like unsatisfying to me. I feel like it just kind of came and went. I feel like it was, and because it was on like near Christmas or something as well. I felt like it was just like it literally felt like it was on for 3 weeks, and then like they just crowned someone. It was kind of just a bit of a blur.
Yeah, it kind of didn't feel canon in a way.
No, and also like I'm a huge Isis Couture fan, so when she left, I was like, yeah, it literally was a point.
Yeah, bring her back. I saw she was talking this week that she wants to go back on All Winners, and honestly, let her
I
off.
think she's
She'd be
one of the best
amazing.
queens of all time. Like, I
She's
think
amazing.
her runway looks and just, oh my God, I think she's amazing. Me and my friend constantly are like, we just like text each other like, oh, Isis Couture, wow. We just think about her and just like,
Just
and
in the
just
back of a
marvel.
taxi.
Literally, at random points in the day, like, wow, look at Isis
Isis Couture.
Couture. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because Scarlett's joke of Graham Norton is so old, people had to actually get up to turn off his show. I think that's a good joke, and I think
It
she delivered
is.
it well. I
Especially
just,
for someone who's doesn't isn't based in the UK or like have a big Graham Norton knowledge, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I thought that was good.
100%. Right, finally was Tia Coffey. I mean, the puns were off the chart with this glory, holy matrimony. Graham, Eurovision. Sorry, I mean, you host Eurovision. The Michelle Visage, Michael Face joke was great. Graham, you're like potatoes. You'd go with anything as an Irishman. I felt that. I thought that was great. You, Rue, you remind me of my mother because she's dead. We're the world's worst Spice Girls. Marina, because you've the body of an 8-year-old, 8-month child. And then Marina reminds me of life. Life is short. Loved that moment. Tia did the best this week.
I completely agree, and like, I don't know if she what like listens to this or is going to kill me because, like I said, like we're kind of pally, but
I don't think she listens, but
I
that's okay.
do think that Tia has been in the top on some challenges where I don't know if she quite deserved it. Whereas this week, I was like, she was the best. Like I thought she was so funny. Like the comment to Hannah of like the only time you're going to get called sporty was so good.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was, yeah. There was just so much good stuff in there. And I kind of feel like I really like Tia Coffey. And I kind of feel like I've been on this podcast kind of saying, oh, I don't think she deserved that. I don't think she deserves that. And like, it kind of surprised me. But like, I do think there was times that she got overhyped, but this was not it. She absolutely hit this out of the park. And
For
I
sure.
love Hannah, and I would have said that Tia did better than Hannah.
But it's weird because I really wanted Hannah to win the lip sync. Like, I don't know why. I just really wanted to get a badge. I was like
Me
dying
too.
for it. I was
Me
dying
too.
for it. Even though Tia did the best this week and probably deserved the win. But
Yeah, I would say, and we'll get onto the runway now. Didn't love a runway, but let's go there piece by piece. Category was Take Me Up the Aisle, Bridal Couture. First up was Hannah, who gave a sort of classic bridal look with these silver embellishments, a white sculpted wig. There was a bustle, there was silver jewellery. It was kind of just straight up Bridal Couture. I thought she looked really great, but didn't necessarily have a particular point of view. And I think she kind of got away with it because none of the other queens just did straight up bridal. But I'm kind of used to Hannah having a message or a bit of a point of view. So that was my only like disappointment. But I still thought she looked great because she always looks great, and this looked great.
yeah, I agree. I feel like it's weird because, like, at the end of the day, I'm not coming to Hannah Conda for a runway look. I actually, she always looks great, but she never looks like my favorite on the runway. And I think that's fine. Like, she's not missing anything. She's not doing anything wrong. Her face looks great. Like, but it was just a safe, lovely two for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's a real drag queen's drag queen in that like She's always presenting high polish of drag, but it isn't the grand damn concept, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I loved her Dykes on Bikes look.
Yeah, that was cute.
Like, when she can service history like that, or when she did the First Nations look,
yeah,
the first week, I think that's when she is at her best, when she can give us her wacky personality and then underscore it with like a social message.
For sure.
The Grand Dame was up next in this custard-coloured post-nuclear war bride. There was an embellished mask with flowers all over it. There was these kind of ruffs all on her mermaid tail and this long sort of shawl. She said she had been warped by uranium, that she had 3 ovaries. And then there was these sort of Galliano cutouts all through the dress. Were you a fan?
I was a massive fan. She literally has never missed for me on any runway. Like this, I think she's absolutely insanely good.
Yeah.
And this was really cool.
This was great. And like, you have to know what you're doing if you're not going for white in this. And, you know, I'm very confident she knows what she's doing. And
when you were saying about point of view, like, she always has a point of view. Like,
yes.
And also, like, this many seasons into Drag Race, like, global franchise, she always does things where I'm like, wow, like, I've never thought of that. Like, the condom dress, like, are you kidding me? Like, that was so good.
Loved it, yeah. Yeah, 100%. No, I thought she looked great. I mean, did I guess that the mask was her face? No, but I didn't care. It looked good. It was fine. Marina then gave us a traditional wedding Yakan tribe dress from the Philippines. It was checkered pattern, hand woven, and then sort of rhinestoned. She had this asymmetrical sort of cross shawl across her chest. There was a kind of like a chandelier mobile sort of thing across her forehead that had stars dripping down over her face. She had these like white dots across her face. I'm sure it's symbolic of something that I don't understand. And then a black sort of bun wig. Gorgeous.
I mean, come on. Like, what can you say? Like, she is literally one of the most gorgeous people I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, it's actually jaw-dropping every time. And if I was the other queens in the workroom seeing her get ready, I'd be like, come on.
I loved the silhouette. Like, the kind of shoulders and how it was kind of draped, kind of the lapels were kind of over each other and diagonally. I was like, I'd love to wear something like that if I got married, but I don't think I'm allowed to. But, like, that sort of shape was lovely.
And the colours, oh. So good.
And kind of, I don't know if this was the purpose, but it kind of felt kind of gender androgynous to me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, never misses, does Marina. Scarlett then gave us Elvis at Vegas. It was kind of wedding-y because there was a golden sort of cape from the waist down. There was the classic Elvis flair. She had a bunch of flowers. She had the Elvis coif. This was clearly a point of view, and also she makes the Elvis joke in the roast, so it was nice for her to tie it through then into the runway as well.
I feel like I've seen this exact concept maybe like 7 times on a Drag Race runway before, but I thought this was probably one of the best it's ever been done, so fair play.
Yeah,
she looked gorgeous.
Yeah, I agree. We've definitely seen Elvis before, but I think it was fun to do as a wedding, like from an American perspective, especially when you're here representing your country.
Yeah.
Like if it's on... If it's on the US, it's not as significant, but like to a certain degree, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to Filipino heritage, but maybe this is the Yakan tribe of America. I don't know.
I know what you mean. I thought she looked great.
This is a significant American only reference, you know, and if you're representing your country, I think it was a good way of doing it. And she looked great.
She did look great. I agree.
So my only boot this week comes from Tia, personally. I know she had a point of view. She had the alien baby bride with white sort of sculpted, like, windswept wig. There was lace on the arms and on the shoulders. There were satin gloves and a layered tulle train. The aesthetics of this were not for me. Like, it was definitely elevated from season 2, but it just didn't work.
I really agree. I don't know, like, sometimes with, like, Tia's runways, like, they are amazing, or like they've been elevated so much, but sometimes it doesn't quite click for me, and I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like sometimes there's always something that's a bit off, or like I was looking at the wig, and I don't know, maybe I there's like something about the wig that looked a bit like gluey. Like, I don't know, I didn't like it. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Were her proportions off? Like, I'm not a stylist in any shape or form, but I kind of felt a level of frustration towards this look that I remember feeling towards her in season 2. Now, this is obviously better than the ice cream, the green dress.
The green dress. Oh my
but
God.
But I mean, maybe it's up there with her. God, what's your man's name? He has the road in Manchester. He solved the code.
Oh yeah,
Alan
Alan
Turing.
Turing.
Alan Turing. Her Alan Turing dress. I don't know. This just didn't work for me. I could tell the material was more expensive, but I just don't think it worked.
I really like the idea of the like little alien thing belly. Like that's really very me, but I don't know.
I think I would have preferred if she had covered it and then revealed it as
Yeah.
an alien belly, would have maybe just told the story a bit better.
I think I'd have liked it if it was like full on, yeah, like you said, like almost like glamour traditional bride, and then just reveal it and it get weird. Like that would be really fun. I feel like it kind of came in a bit like sci-fi-y too soon. Maybe that's my issue with it.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't work for me. But that was not bad enough to prevent you getting the win, I don't think. Her and Hannah were the top two. The other three were the bottom three. If there was one from the bottom three that you would have saved, who would you have saved?
Marina.
Yeah, I agree. I know Scarlett in the talking head was like, "I'm clearly like not in the bottom two," and I was like, "I don't think that's the truth."
I think there's arguments for either of those two being like the one who's not in the bottom.
Yeah,
But
it's
like
definitely the Grand Dame in the bottom.
I think Marina's runway made me decide like okay, like you know what I mean? Like you deserve extra points for that because that was really gorgeous.
And maybe if we'd been in the room, it would have felt like Scarlett did a better job, but definitely with that heavy, shady edit, it didn't feel like. It definitely felt
Yeah.
like Marina got more laughs.
Yeah. I also think because Marina felt like someone who would have been more out of her comfort zone for this challenge, and like even when someone like that does like passably good, it just feels more better than like
Yeah, I
a
think
big
so.
flop.
Yeah. Okay, little Drag Race quiz. Let's see how melted your brain is with Drag Race trivia. Can you remember what the lip sync song was the episode before the final in UK versus the World Season 1?
Absolutely not. I couldn't even guess.
I'll give you a clue. It's related to this week's song.
Oh, was it Larry? Was it another Eurovision song? Can't think. Literally the only song I can remember from UK Vista World 1 is Supernova at the final. I can't think of anything else.
Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, the penultimate episode had a lip sync between Monique Cart and Jujubee to "Toy" by Netta, because
Oh,
I remember Jujubee doing like the clucking dance. So I don't know, maybe UK the first world we're getting a Eurovision song every penultimate episode, because this week it was Loreen Euphoria. I mean, we've been crying out for this song as a lip sync song, and
Has
we're
it never been
kind
done
of.
before? It feels mad that it hasn't.
I mean, yeah, I kind of felt it. I heard it before, but I
Yeah.
can't remember where.
I feel
Maybe I'll
like.
go look at it after this.
Yeah, because I know sometimes they do repeat songs these days, right? Like they've definitely done that before.
Oh, how many future nostalgia songs have we heard in this show?
Is this one of the quiz questions?
Oh no, that's a
Just
rhetorical
in
question.
general.
A
A
lot, a
lot.
lot.
But you know
Yeah.
what? If you've got it, flaunt it, and the album has got it, so I'm fine
Yeah,
with it.
exactly. Come through Houdini appearing on the show at some point as well. They did it on Sweden season one. I'm reading here, which makes sense. It's fine. It's a this is Swedish
Didn't
artist.
Loreen guest judge? I might have made it up.
I didn't watch all of Sweden, so
I feel like I've
couldn't
seen her
tell.
in the panel, but I'm not sure.
Fake fan over here. So anyway, yes, Loreen Euphoria. Look, I wanted Hannah to win a badge. I think Hannah and Tia were the top two, but raging we didn't get Marina performing to this song.
Yeah, but also I was so nervous that Hannah was going to lose the lip sync because Tia was like, I've got references to every queen that came. And then the references are just like shit bits of like foam.
Oh, is that
Like,
what they were? They were references to the queens. I just felt
yeah.
like she was, because I saw the shamrock,
Yeah, for genders,
and
right?
yeah, okay. I just thought
But it
she
didn't
was like
land.
selling stuff on Depop up there. I wasn't sure what she was doing. It was so
And I couldn't work
strange.
out what other people's stuff were. Like the Shamrock, obviously, like I could clock the reference, but like some of the other stuff I was like squinting, but
The
then
first
thank
one was like a wig fringe. Is that mayhem?
I don't even know. It was too niche. It was too niche. It was like private jokes. I don't know what was going on.
It
What?
reminded me, I went to go see Kate Nash once in Dublin years ago, and I had a weird Dublin crowd this week or that time we were there. For whatever reason, she invited people, like somebody threw a bra up on stage, and people started throwing everything up on stage. There was shoes, and it got to the point that Kate Nash just started like holding up a jacket. Who owns this? Oh, here you go. She kind of just like tidying up the stage, like
It was
handing out
cloakroom shift.
clothes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, basically. I was like, that's what T is pulling, a cloakroom shift on this
Yeah.
stage.
I was just gonna say I was nervous that like when she said it, I was like, oh no, I want Hannah to get the badge, and then thank God Hannah brought out those fan things that looked so gorgeous. And she's such a good lip syncer. I feel like I underrate her so much. Her lips were so, the quiver was so perfect.
Oh, I agree. That's what I was gonna say as well, was that the fans, Hannah had those fans, and she did a great job with them. I think she could have been able to spin with them better, because I was waiting for the full like 360 spin the fans around, and maybe the heels, whatever, didn't allow her that full,
Yeah.
circular movement. But yeah, definitely saved the day. Like I was like yourself, rooting for Hannah to do it. And I think she did a great job. So yeah, Hannah wins in the sort of like untucked part. Who? If I paused it and asked you who do you think's going to go, who would you have said?
I would have said Scarlett.
I was really worried for Marina, especially when they were talking about how it's going to be a lip sync finale. That I was like, do you know what? If Marina wasn't there, be pretty close lip syncing wise between the Grand Dame, Tia, Hannah, and who am I missing? Well, not Marina, sorry, Scarlett. Like, I wouldn't be confident who's going to win there, but none of them are going to beat Marina in any way, so.
It's weird because, like, I don't think Tia's like the best lip syncer. I think she's fine. I can't really remember what Scarlett's like as a lip syncer. I can't think off the
She's
top of my
fine.
head. She's fine. Le Grand Dame, probably fun gimmicks coming, I fear. And Marina, obviously, like, wow. Like, but yeah, I think Hannah holds her own. I think Hannah's kind of up there.
Yeah. So I genuinely think Tia. Had Tia won, she would have sent home Marina, I think.
Do you think? Oh,
Tia
well,
had
I can't wait to see.
Tia has her I think Tia has her eyes on the prize. And we
For
had
sure.
Banksy on the show last week, and Banksy said the same. Whereas I think because we got the context of Hannah and her insecurity around not being a fan favorite last time, I don't think Hannah was willing to take the risk to send home Marina.
I also think people are just like, I don't know, there was like emotional drama last time when like people were doing this crazy game, like the Jimbo and the Pangina eliminations, like they caused mayhem. And I was doing exit interviews that season, so I was like speaking to them week after week, and I felt like the vibes were like not friendly. Like Pangina seemed livid. Like I didn't think that it was like happen. And I think maybe people just like want an easier life.
Yes, I think the big elimination so early on in the season kind of kicked the momentum out of it. There's one episode to go. If Marina went, it would have been big drama, but there's only one episode left to go. And honestly, if Jimbo hadn't been kicked off, they wouldn't have won All Stars 8. So, like, I could see if Marina got kicked off that week, she could have ended up on an All Stars in the US.
For sure, for sure. I feel like Rue is like obsessed.
Yeah.
Do
Whereas,
we think Marina's going to win the whole thing?
oh, she has to.
I agree. I agree.
Like, they'd have to do some bullshit Monet exchange versus Jinx Monsoon editing to make us believe anyone's gonna beat her.
Yeah, but then it's also like I feel like Rue has such a Tia Coffee soft spot.
Anna Le Grand Dame's soft spot.
I think Rue likes all this top four a lot. I think you can tell.
This for me was clear, my clear top four going into it, I think.
Yeah. This is what I mean when you asked me who'd gone home that I was like good about. I was kind of like, no one really.
They all have their own strengths. They're all really good at what they do.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. And I think, like, the show has got it right in terms of the final four.
Do we
I
think
guess.
this is like way better than UK versus World One? I think so.
I wouldn't say way better. I did enjoy UK versus the World One.
I enjoyed the chaos, but something always
I
felt
would say
off to me.
better. But I guess I'm also looking at UK versus the World One. With these moments of like introducing Jimbo to the world stage and Pangina and stuff like that in a way that I think we may not be able to see the long tail of it yet. So I guess I need some time out from
I
it.
also think what's really good about UK versus World One is it really has like moments that people talk about. And I'm not sure if this series really does have that. It's just kind of like a good season of good queens rather than like
Yeah.
any like
What's the most
big, like,
iconic moment of the season?
I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head. Honestly, I think that Hannah's, what's her Snatch Game character called?
Yeah, Shirley Temple.
I thought her Shirley Temple was better than Jimbo's.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought it was so funny.
Yeah,
That was maybe
maybe
why.
that's it. But like, if you think of Pangina's talent show and Jimbo's talent show from UK versus the World One, I mean, and even Lemon's talent show, like, they are iconic Drag Race moments, both of them, that I don't
Yeah.
think this season has. I mean, maybe some of Le Grand Dame's looks, but I guess looks don't translate into iconic moments as easily because they're short-lived, whatever. But definitely
Yeah.
in like some of the best looks of the year, the Grand Dame will be up there.
Yeah, I'm Marina. That blue look, wow.
Yeah, gorge. Okay, well, because I'm here, I have the power and the privilege to ask you to pick one person who you think is going to win.
Who I think is going to win and who I want to win.
Well, let's answer both.
Okay, well, who I think is going to win is Marina, but who I want to win is Hannah. I'm a
Oh,
Hannah Condis stan.
you're still on the Hannah Con.
Yeah.
I mean, only because her track record is the worst, I'm conflicted with letting her, her me rooting for her.
She's not going to win, but I'm like good like that. She's someone I've just like really enjoyed this season.
Yeah, Joe, if it was a shock win, I think I'd be happy. So maybe I'm with you.
It's not going to happen. It's going to be Marina or Tia. Mark my words.
Not the Grand Dame.
No.
No. I kind of don't want another British queen to win UK versus the world. I kind of want them to change it up.
I'd love it for to be Marina because I think that. So like it just I just think it would be a great thing for the Philippines to have like someone like that come over here and like really kind of make an impact.
Right, well, you've heard it here. We'll be back next week to cover the finale. Until then, Harrison, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Where can people find your work, all that sort of stuff, and what you're covering?
So I write mostly on the tab, so you can go on there and read my stuff there, and you can find me on socials at Harrison J. Brock on Twitter and on Instagram.
Some great ranking of trader contestants. I loved the
Thank
video.
you. Thank you. That was really fun. I really had my time in my life doing that.
That is your iconic moment for the year, Harris.
It is. It is. I'm going to be living off that till December.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.
Thank you. See ya.